thank you all very much, members of the press. You haven't seen me very much lately, but obviously you all must have expected me for this occasion. I couldn't miss it. I wouldn't miss it. I am sorry that there's a great football game going on right now, because that probably makes a few of you want to get out of here. But we won't keep you long, and Dallas is losing, and you know that. But from my standpoint, it's a very exceptional day, a wonderful day, a day I never thought would happen, but it is. I do notice some of my relatives here, and I thank them for being here. I do note for the press that we didn't have enough time to get the entire clan of the Menichees rounded up, so there's only about a third in attendance or less. Next time we'll have to have a bigger room just for them. But I want to thank all the members of the press in advance for being here. It's very important, it seems to me, in these difficult times for this great state of New Mexico, that candidates like my son get adequate exposure to the people of New Mexico. So I'd like to tell you about him just a little bit. You'll find out much more, and you'll learn to know him, and things I said here on this first opening day will pale as we come up with the details of an election that will be a tough one that will go on in this state. First of all, my son, without question, loves New Mexico. I know that because I come here often and I spend time with him. And he talks about how beautiful our state is, its rivers, its mountains, and most of all, its people. Its large cities and its little cities. We go there, and he truly loves New Mexico and New Mexicans. And he gets along with them, and that seems to me to be absolutely imperative, that that person that is going to try to put us on the right path again has to know the people of New Mexico. Let me also suggest that we're very lucky and fortunate in our household because Pete has a good intellect. However it is that we get good intellects, he got one. He's thankful for that. I'm thankful for that. And he works with people with that intellect and solves problems. He loves to solve problems. And I'm sure when you hear him speak today, you're going to know why I suggest to you that one of his strengths is his passion for solving serious and big problems. That's what he loves. That's what it seems to me he's going to have to do. Also, I believe Pete understands that you cannot get things done in New Mexico unless both Democrats and Republicans, men and women, are involved. And I think he will work with them in an effort to bring about the kinds of changes that are necessary in this great state. Without a question, he will apply his intellect and his honesty to the problems of our state, and I believe if they're solvable, he will find ways to solve them. He will have my support, and without question, I suggest that he loves New Mexico, and he loves New Mexico, and I love him, and the combination will be pretty good for New Mexico. And with that, I want to say it's my first privilege of this type, and I'm not sure it will be my last. It will for this occasion, but imagine when you get to introduce your own son. I've introduced a lot of politicians, but he isn't one yet. He's not a politician. And I think that's a strength. I think that's a strength today when people are all so worried and so up in arms about the veracity and honesty and forthrightness of politicians. So I introduce to you my non-politician son, Pete Domenici.
Thank you, Dad. And thank all of you for joining me. I'm also thankful to have some members of my family here. I have my daughter here. My stepson, Eric, is here. My sister, Claire. My three aunts, Thelma, Sister Marinella, and Aunt Mary. And both of my parents. I'm very glad they came. I'm a candidate for governor of New Mexico in this election. I want to serve the people of the state of New Mexico as our next governor. I'm not a professional politician, but like most New Mexicans, I am frustrated and fed up with the unprecedented budgetary and corruption crisis that faces our state. As my father indicated, I love this state. I have a passion for solving difficult problems. And I think I can take this state in a new direction. That's the reason I'm announcing and entering this election for governor now. The current mismanagement of our state has left the state in a situation on the verge of economic and ethical bankruptcy. There are continuous daily revelations of budgetary disaster and corruption at the highest levels of our state's government. And these demand not only a new governor, which we will get in this election, but these demand a new direction. Helping New Mexicans and helping New Mexico is the sole basis for my decision to enter this election. I was born and raised a couple of miles from here. I went to Our Lady of Fatima Elementary School, a few miles up Lomas, here in Albuquerque. I graduated from the University of New Mexico Law School, which is also just several miles from here. I own my own small law business, and we are celebrating our 20th anniversary this year. Now, I have practiced environmental, energy, and natural resources law my entire career throughout the state of New Mexico. Because of this experience, I have a deep understanding of the core industries and communities that power New Mexico's economy. I have personally witnessed New Mexico prevail in good times and bad. New Mexicans now agree that we have never faced the economic challenges and lack of integrity that confront the state at this time. Instead of providing leadership, the executive branch is paralyzed. Our state needs healing. People need healing from 8 years of fiscal and ethical abuse. I learned how to serve people from two very caring individuals. My parents that are joining me here today. My mom, Nancy, nurtured in her children the virtue that every person is special and of great value, and that you should care for people one person at a time. My dad is known by millions for utilizing public office to help people, to take care of them, and to deny self-interest for public interest. I have witnessed good governance through him close up. I will serve New Mexicans in the same faithful and honorable manner he has. I am proud of my father's service and my mother's concern for people. These motivating principles are the foundation upon which we embark on this important work to serve the people of New Mexico. I aspire to make people proud to live, work, and raise their families in New Mexico. Yes, I am the son of Pete Domenici and Nancy Domenici. And because of how they raised me and because of my life experiences, I am my own man. The campaign will reveal that I have developed my own roots, deep and strong, in common sense conservatism. This means limited government that removes unnecessary impediments to attracting businesses and creating jobs. It means respect and protection for human life, traditional marriage, and private gun ownership. And I support the efforts to restore capital punishment for those who kill our law enforcement officers. Now, some may also ask, why enter the race now? I chose this time to enter because it's the right time. Voters get worn out over campaigns that stretch on for well over a year and dominate their news and their mailboxes for too long. Now, at the beginning of 2010, is the right time to enter an election that is going to take place at the end of 2010. As just one glaring example of the mismanagement and corruption at the top, this governor and lieutenant governor have increased the numbers of political appointees by hundreds over the last administration. As a result, they have created a special upper class of state employees. This upper class of state employees is accountable to no one. They are selected based on who they know or what they contributed, rather than on their qualifications and their ability to serve the people. Had this not happened, along with a rash of other terrible financial and spending decisions, we wouldn't be looking at the fiscal crisis that has such an enormous proportion of our state budget. Now the people of New Mexico are forced to bail out the mess the professional politicians have created. Hardworking state employees must take time off without pay. This practice is softened by using the word furlough. But let's call it what it is. It is forced time off without being paid. I think the first step in resolving this crisis is to permanently furlough this administration, and that includes the lieutenant governor. I will reduce the number of appointments to only those positions the governor must rely on to effectively implement policies necessary to help the people, not the incumbent governor. The Republican Party is revitalizing in many parts of the nation. Two other states just elected Republican governors. In October 2009, a new mayor and two city councilors who are Republicans were elected here in Albuquerque. We need a strong Republican as governor to continue this renewal, and I want to be that governor. I would like to officially launch our campaign by acknowledging some of the key people on our team, which is expanding rapidly across the state. But before that, I want to acknowledge my sister, Lisa, who I just noticed. Thank you for coming, Lisa.
Just wait around, there'll be more.
Leaders from the three New Mexico congressional districts will co-chair the Domenici for Governor campaign. Our finance co-chairmen are Larry Monte and Thelma Domenici, who are both here today. And I want to thank both of you for your commitment. Thank you very much. And today I introduce the co-chairman of the campaign from the 1st District, essentially from the Albuquerque area. Albuquerque City Councilor Dan Lewis. Now, in the 2009 Albuquerque city election, in the most populated district of the city, underdog Dan Lewis demonstrated that hard work, integrity, and humility allow great accomplishments to be achieved. He was elected over an entrenched liberal incumbent with 56% of the vote. I'm honored to have your support and leadership, Counselor. In closing, I want to share the response to that my potential candidacy has raised from across the state. It has been incredible. I have received literally hundreds of phone calls and emails from all over the state, from people of all walks of life, emailing and calling to express their encouragement and their support. And for all of those people, I have listened to you. And you're part of the reason I've made this commitment. And I want to live up to your encouragement and your support. I appreciate your confidence in me. I will work tirelessly to win the governorship and return New Mexican government back to the people of New Mexico. Thank you.
Before we open it up for questions, I wanted to say that we do have some information packets for all of you that are here today with some helpful information that I think will be helpful to you, and also with Pete's statement. Pete and his family need to leave at about 1:30. I think there's about seven, eight minutes, and they would be happy to answer a few questions.
Are there any questions?
What makes you the most qualified candidate?
I think it's a combination of not being a professional politician, but having experienced the success of politicians and the role of politicians in serving the public interest, combined with a high degree of knowledge of the state, the functions of the state, the diverse people of the state, the needs of the state, and the faith and the dedication to turn the state in a new direction. And I don't think the state can change in the direction it needs unless we have a candidate, a Republican candidate elected. I do not think the Lieutenant Governor is going to be capable, even if she's willing, which I'm not conceding, I don't think she's going to be capable of making the kind of changes that will prevent 8 more years of what has happened to this state.
You had mentioned some concerns you have with the budget. How would you plan to fix this?
This particular budget, as I have studied it and am studying it at this time, is obviously a complex problem. It's the result of a series of decisions that have resulted in the circumstances we're in. I would not be looking at increasing taxes, increasing revenues. I would be, and I'm interested in focusing on the proposals, some of them from Democrat legislators, that indicate the starting point, the necessary starting point, has to be with spending limitations, spending changes, and that starts with looking at where all the spending takes place, understanding where all that spending takes place, which I don't think has been well understood or explained in the last 8 years. So that would be my starting point, and I would agree with the people starting from that perspective. I don't know where that's going to end up. I think it's going to have to work itself out. That's what the legislature is for. But that's how I would approach it, along the same lines as that group of people.
What would some of your top priorities be?
Are you talking about in the future?
In the future, yes.
Okay. The top priorities, I think, for this state are jobs. I think it's very questionable whether this economy is going to be able to turn itself around in the next 12 months. I think we could easily be facing a similar, what I would consider soft economy. And I think in order to emphasize jobs, we need to protect the jobs that we have and show appreciation for the employers who create those jobs. And we need to provide incentives and make it easier for those employers to continue to provide those jobs or perhaps expand those jobs. And I think that will build a base that would encourage other employers to consider New Mexico and bring other jobs here. So jobs is a fundamental part of the overall economic structure and situation in the state. That would be a first priority. I've mentioned a couple in my speech, and I think those are absolutely critical. And those are to avoid the type of corruption that has been rampant, and it's being revealed on a daily basis. I brought with me the last three Albuquerque journals, just in case I needed to choose a particular aspect of either the budgetary or the corruption crisis, because every front page of the last three, and this goes back many weeks and months, looks at a different aspect that needs to be changed, either in the fiscal area or the ethical and corruption area.
You talk about jobs. The city of New Mexico, the oil and gas industry, feels it's being regulated out of existence in the state. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yes, I do. As I indicated, I have experience working in the natural resource field and the environmental field. And in oil and gas, those two overlap. One objective is to produce that resource. Another objective is to protect the environment. And that's a delicate balance. If that balance goes too far one way or another, it clearly impacts business. It impacts the competitiveness of the state that is imposing those regulations. Right now, New Mexico is out of balance from the three adjacent states. It's not competitive. Oil and gas projects are moving across the border in all three directions that oil and gas resources exist. That discourages capital investment, capital activity, which limits operating revenue. So it has that type of imbalance needs to be corrected to get New Mexico back in the business of increasing oil and gas production in an environmentally friendly way with all of the benefits that would come with that.
And how would you bring that back into balance?
Well, the specifics that are at issue with the oil and gas industry to a large extent, although I wouldn't say exclusively, to a large extent are the Pitt Rule, which is, I'm not going to go into that much detail, but I'm quite familiar with the Pitt Rule. I know the genesis of the Pitt Rule. The Pitt Rule has a noble and appropriate objective, which is to protect groundwater. But it goes beyond what's necessary to protect groundwater and imposes non-competitive and non-beneficial costs on production.
Would you agree then with the Lee County representatives and trade associations in the state who have filed suit against the environmental department saying that the state doesn't have the jurisdiction to come up with an emissions standard and that should be left with the federal government?
That's on a slightly different topic. I'm not particularly familiar with that litigation or the question of jurisdiction. As a fundamental issue, I don't agree that New Mexico should be engaged in that type of regulation, jurisdiction or not.
Thank you very much. We will be setting up interviews with many of you and have many more opportunities for Pete to be able to answer all of your questions and spend much more time with you. Thanks very much. I know the family needs to be able to move on to another.